5.
Standby 1.
Let's go.
You're about to experience the evolution of action motorsports coverage. The motorsports you care about. Cutting edge, high impact, no filler. This is the Down and Dirty Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink. And here is the man bringing it all to you, Jimmy Beaver.
Good morning and welcome to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink, lit up by Rigid Industries, and schooled by Dirtfish Rally School. And I tell you what, it was an action-packed weekend full of all kinds of motorsports action. First off, we had, the big one, Supercross, Las Vegas, winding up the Monster Energy Supercross Series. We had Endurocross in Vegas kicking off the same weekend. Not only that, but we had the Best in the Desert Silver State 300 going off in Las Vegas. Three major motorsports events in Las Vegas, all on the same, pretty much on the same day, same weekend, pretty crazy. And to top things off, we had Rally America in action at the Oregon Trail Rally, the only West Coast Rally America National on the circuit, and that one is always off the hook. Everybody from the West Coast converging on Oregon for a major, major stage rally here in the United States. Very exciting. And then we have the World Rallycross Championship kicking off in Portugal. So, man, we had a ton of racing action. We're going to get into all of that and a huge slam-packed Dirtfish Rally Report later on in the show. But before we get to that, here in just a few minutes, we've got Robbie Woods, short course veteran. He's going to be calling in, talking about 2014, the Lucas Oil Series, his new program, and his new company, Rogue Off-Road. Should be exciting. And then at the 10 o'clock, the top of the hour, we're going to have George Hamill, UTV racer in the Lucas Oil Short Course Series. He's going to be calling in. And interesting note about George Hamill is he's also a paraplegic. So it should be interesting to see kind of some of the challenges that that George has faced. I mean, just an amazing guy. It's an awesome, awesome backstory. Love having guys like George on air, you know, so positive and really, brings out the best in everybody. So looking forward to having George calling in and here in about 30 minutes. And we'll chat a little bit of UTV short course. Also an X Games veteran, so we'll probably talk a little bit about X Games. Should be pretty exciting. But those of you tuning in, I guess happy Cinco de Mayo, May 5th today. And yesterday we had May the 4th be with you, those of you that are Star Wars fans. I know all over social media it seemed like yesterday, just people going nuts with the Star Wars, just Star Wars posts, Star Wars everything, and with the new Star Wars movie and cast being announced, it was all things Star Wars this past week, it seems like, and all culminating on May 4th, which is always national or international Star Wars Day. And so hopefully the Force was with you yesterday on May the 4th. But we're going to talk, enough with the Star Wars chat. We're going to go straight into talking some motorsports. And I got to tell you, to me, it was a big, big, big weekend for rally. Like I said, Oregon Trail Rally going off. We had the World Rallycross Championship kicking off. We got some big WRC news coming out of WRC and a lot of Dirtfish Rally news. So I'm excited for this Dirtfish Rally report coming up in just a little bit. And it seems like with the world of rally, it's just weird. It's like the last week, last 2 weeks, we had a little bit of GRC news trickling out. And it seems like it's like bam, it just hit us in the face this weekend. It was like just a ton of news. It has to do with probably all these events happening. Obviously, we've got the World Rally Championship coming up here from Argentina this next weekend. But, just a ton of rally news. And then, to top things off, Best in the Desert Silver State 300, round three of, the Best in the Desert Championship. And I got to say, Silver State doesn't quite get its due. I kind of feel bad for the race, to be honest with you. You've got kick things off the Parker 425. That's a huge event. And then you go into the Mint 400, which is a mega event, probably the biggest off-road race in the United States, talking desert racing. And then it gets sandwiched in and kind of lost in the mix. But it looks like we got Robbie calling in, so we're going to see if we can pick up Mr. Woods here and see what Robbie has to say. How's everything going, Robbie?
Good. What's going on, guys? How's life this morning?
You know what? Life is good on my end, and I got to say, man, it's got to be pretty good on your end as well.
It has been hectic, man. It's getting closer to good, you know. It's just been so much work in such a short amount of time that it's been challenging packaging it all into the, you know, the small 16-hour window of opportunity we have to work every day, but we're making it happen.
You know, and I got to say, you know, a lot of people I know last year, you know, you and longtime partner Lucas Oil, you kind of parted ways with the Pro 2 program, and everybody goes, what's going to happen with Robbie Woods? And then all of a sudden these huge announcements come out after the first of the year. I mean, you've got this new company you've started, Rogue Off-Road, and, you know, obviously you're running Pro 2 this year, but you got Rogue Off-Road as well. It's got to be pretty tough to be balancing everything.
It is. You know, it's just a step-by-step process. You know, I mean, I'd be lying if I said I had it all figured out going into this thing. You know, but 5 short years ago, I was just a punk kid that wanted to go off-road racing and had a dream of racing for championships and manufacturing trucks and parts and doing everything in-house. And I laid it all out on paper and just kind of shot for the stars. And, you know, we're well on our way to hitting them, but there's just so much to learn and so much to take in all at the same time. You know, the deal with Lucas last year ending and with such little notice and having such short time to put together the money. I mean, Rogue is doing great, and it's a great thing that we've got going on, but it's not at a point where it's going to fund a championship caliber Pro 2 program yet. You know, so we obviously put our nose to the grindstone, and you know, to be completely honest, it was a weird deal. We got on the podium 6 times at the end of the year last year, and we're really slated to win the Challenge Cup, and really thought that when things ended at Lucas Oil that we would have the phone ringing and there'd be a lot of opportunity. And the reality of it was just so late in the year that everybody's plans were already made. So we had that, you know, that dominant end of the season charge, and up until 3 weeks before the race, didn't know that we were going. So to land Carlisle Professional Hand Tools, you know, alongside Napa, and have that non-endemic, you know, relationship starting, it's very exciting.
Definitely got to be, you know, exciting moving forward. And, you know, let's talk a little bit about Pro 2, because, you know, it seems like, you know, to me, you know, obviously you've got Pro Light and they've got, you know, a nutty amount of entries in that class. You got Pro 4, which is kind of limited just by, you know, I think the cost. But to me, Pro 2, I mean, in short course, I mean, it's where it's at. I mean, you know, you look at the field, and I mean, you know, guys like, you know, obviously you, McCacker and Deegan, I mean, you know, Renazetter, it's just, it's so packed. And then you got guys like Menzies coming over this year, and, you know, Pastrana showing up. I mean, you know, this class is just, it's insane when you look at the entry list. I mean, it's got to be exciting for you banging doors, guys.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, when you think about it and you talk to the old timers, and not even just the old timers, but guys that are still doing it, they'll tell you that it's never been this difficult to win races. And you know, right now we're sitting third in points in what I believe to be the toughest division in off-road racing. Period. And, you know, that might just be my biased opinion, but you look at like the desert racers, and there's a lot of good trucks being built. You know, a lot of teams have found consistency and have the right help to go out and race. But, you know, Travis runs fourth at the Mint 400 and comes to the Lucas Series and runs 14th. And I, you know, that just says a lot about the caliber of driver that's there and how serious the teams are taking it right now. You know, Travis is arguably, in my opinion, one of the best drivers in the world as far as anything on dirt. Rally titles, you know, trophy truck racing. I mean, the dude is phenomenal, as is Tanner Faust. And they come over to, you know, our little playground, and they're 13th, 14th place trucks. And I don't assume that they would stay there, but you got guys like Bryce Menzies with, you know, solid funding from Red Bull. And then you look at, you know, RJ Anderson and Rob McCracken and Brian Deegan and Marty Hart. And, I mean, there is 7 or 8 well-funded teams that take this extremely serious that want to win every weekend, and it's gnarly right now.
Yeah, you know, and let's talk about, you know, the evolution. Obviously, you've been, you know, you've been involved in short course for, you know, over half a decade now. You know, how has it changed since when you first got in? And you know, like you quote said, I was just a young punk kid. You know, how have you seen it change in the past 5-6 years?
I mean, honestly, if you look at the evolution of short course, it's continually takes steps, you know, where it gets better and then levels off, and then gets better and then it levels off. And I think that 5 years ago, everyone basically built what they considered to be the best truck that they could, and you know, they re-geared it per track and went out and raced. And the days where you could have a good truck and show up and race and be competitive still existed. Those days are done. I mean, you look at the McCachran team, you look at the Menzies team, you look at the Deegan team. They have a shock guy and an engine guy and a trans guy and then a chassis guy. You know, I mean, they have payrolls in the hundreds of thousands of dollars, paying engineers and well trained individuals that have tons and tons of tribal knowledge and experience to just tune on these trucks on that specific day on that specific track, depending on the moisture in the air and, you know, the winds and you know, it's crazy. I mean, every weekend we're new converter, new gear, springs, shocks, sway bar, tires. I mean, it's the stuff that we go through and the amount of data acquisition we have to take in just to be competitive is unbelievable. So 5 years ago, you could show up with what you had and you could race for the win. But right now, in my opinion, there's no amount of talent, true grit, dedication, and work that will overcome an understanding of the truck and being able to tune your equipment, because it's crazy hard right now.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that, because I always admired about you. You're kind of a throwback. I mean, you're not one of these guys who just shows up and drives. I mean, you build your own truck, work on them, you wrench on them. You know, top to bottom, every nut, every washer, every bolt that, you know, goes onto your truck. You know, in the past 5-6 years, I mean, you know, outsider looking in, you know, the trucks look similar to how they did 5 years ago. You and I both know that's not the truth. I mean, technology-wise, how these things, you know, you can't take a truck from 6-7 years ago and be competitive now. You know, technology-wise, I mean, you're constantly upgrading your truck and rebuilding it. I mean, you know, how has that stepped up?
I mean, it's just all the way across the map. It starts at the front end and moves all the way back. I mean, the suspension components have progressively gotten better. I mean, yeah, we're running a 2-inch coilover and a 3.5-inch bypass where the old trucks used to run a 3, but really the development that goes into the shocks and how far people are evolving. I mean, just the shock package from high speed, mid speed, and low speed shim stacks and different poppet springs. I mean, the amount of effort that people put into just the shocks is unbelievable. And then you move on to the motor. The motors used to cost, you know, $25,000 or $30,000, and now they're $60,000 to $70,000. I mean, billet block, billet heads, 430-inch displacement. You know, these things are running 15 to 16 to 1 compression and capable of 9,000 RPMs at, you know, 420 inches. I mean, you know, titanium rods, titanium everything. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And then the amount of converters a guy has to have. I mean, there's 13 converters in my semi right now, you know, and then close ratio gear splits in the transmissions from the conventional GM stuff. Now you've got the 210, 195s, and the 140s, all kinds of close ratio gears in the transmission. And, you know, and then the underdrive boxes, the gear reduction boxes, and how often the gear sets are, you know, we've got, I don't know, 12 or 15 sets of gears for that thing to tune, you know, to make the thing run in a narrow window of power all the time. I mean, it just goes all the way through the truck. And then the time and money and effort that the guys are spending to develop at the track. I mean, I saw on Saturday at Firebird, Sunday at Firebird, Steve Menzies stopped and had a beer on the way out. And we were just shooting the shit about him driving home, long drive home. And the guys were loading up the semis and going straight to Lake Elsinore from Firebird. You know, I mean, they go straight to the next track and burn a couple hundred laps and then go home and prep. Like, that's how it is right now.
I don't know. I mean, it's just, you know, I know me, you know, point of entry, you know, I've got a trophy truck program and everything else, and I know the budget's involved, but I look at short course and it, you know, and I've always looked at it, go, hey, if I wanted to go pro two racing, what kind of budget would I have, you know, need to have to go from, say, trophy truck to pro two? And it's not even comparable to money, you know, the amount of money that's involved in running.
I mean, you can do it on more or less, but from a team like Ampudia's, mine, you know, you need it. I mean, realistically, you need $500,000 to do it just decently, you know. And then if you want to do it like Brian Deegan or Menzies or Carl, you need like 2.5 times that. I mean, the budgets in these things definitely range from, I know that the lower level teams that are just doing this from a hobbyist standpoint are spending $300,000 to $350,000, and you look at teams like Menzies and Deegan and McCaffrey and those guys, and they have to spend well over $1 million, $1.2 million, you know, and it's to run one truck around a 9/10 of a mile track 8 times a year. It's crazy.
Well, let's skip forward and talk a little bit about Rogue Off Road, because I know I talked with you a while back, and, you know, it was a new company, and, you know, I know you kind of started it to build Raptor parts, but it's, you know, it's definitely stuff for more than just the Raptors. But I know, you know, with the aftermarket, you know, you and I both know there's a lot of companies doing a lot of things, but not a lot of companies doing a lot of things right, you know. And it seems like with Rogue, you guys took a kind of a different approach to the aftermarket.
Well, and I have to be completely honest with you, I have an absolutely outstanding business partner that picks up everywhere that I'm not strong, and I would like to think vice versa, you know. It's kind of an interesting deal. You know, we've been building race cars and trophy trucks and really high-end off-road vehicles out in my little shop in Pahrump, utilizing SolidWorks, and, you know, I draw this stuff in SolidWorks. We have it laser cut and CNC bent in Southern California and assemble some pretty world-class stuff here out in Pahrump. My business partner, Ryan Inman, runs the largest retail four-wheel drive off-road shop in Las Vegas. It's called For the Truck. It's a lot like a four-wheel parts. So we became friends through, you know, just common friends and common interest in off-road, and he actually contracted me to build him a luxury pre-runner, kind of like a Stewart's Raceworks truck. And through that build, we just became friends and really started to understand the dynamic of how each other operated. And he came to me one day and said, look, man, you know, we have a great potential to sell control arms and leveling kits and coilover kits and tie rods and, you know, the stuff that we're selling already, we can manufacture, and we can do it together. So, you know, with his business sense and the approach that we've taken, you know, and the little bit of talent and fabrication knowledge that I have, I think that we've got a really good thing going, and just really offering great products at a reasonable price, you know. But back to you saying we kind of took a different approach, we just really wanted to build a good business and do things a little bit differently. And, you know, I think that the thing with off-road as a whole is there's tons of talented people, but it seems like a lot of these companies struggle to do well at business, and that's the part that, you know, that Ryan really has figured out.
Yeah, I think you're totally right. There's a lot of talented people, but they don't have the business background, you know, and I think, you know,
me being one of them, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, me hearing, you know, what I'm hearing, you know, obviously you've got the talent to build the parts. He's got the talent for the business side. You know, together you guys, you know, make a go of this thing.
Well, and we both have a little bit of what the other does as well. You know, I mean, I'm very fortunate to be allowed to help make some of the business decisions and offer my, what I would just say, common sense from time to time. And Ryan actually comes from a long group of manufacturing IMCO powerboat products. You know, they build the offshore drives and the steering systems and all that. That's his family's business. So he grew up around manufacturing as well. You know, I mean, he's geared his skill set more towards business, where I've geared mine more towards manufacturing. But we both have a little bit of both, to where we're, you know, we're constantly helping each other and feeding off each other's ideas and trying to develop products that are, you know, better than what's out there and more affordable you know, it's been a good thing. But as far as the product line, man, the stuff that Rogue Racing has to offer is just really cool, in my opinion. We've really taken everything that I've learned about racing, from, you know, the manufacturing to springs and shocks and really everything that's helped me become a good off-road racer, we apply to everything that we build. You know, the bottom line is people can just really get good quality parts that bolt on and far exceed what you would think a production vehicle could do.
Let's talk a little bit about the Ford Raptor real quick, because I know, you know, a big part at this point of your product is stuff surrounding Raptor. I think, you know, when Ford debuted this vehicle, they really quite didn't know what they were getting into. I mean, as far as the aftermarket goes, and guys like yourself have really run with all. I mean, you know, somebody that buys a brand new Raptor off the showroom floor and wants free running. What are some of the biggest challenges a Raptor faces? What are these first problems that are going to pop up with, say, taking a stock Raptor and doing a little bit of free running with it?
You know, I think that the thing is that the Raptor is so capable, factory as a vehicle, that there's a couple of components that were under engineered or maybe that were built to be broken to where people couldn't really necessarily use all of it for everything that it's worth. But really, it's such a great starting point that, you know, the most common few things that we see are the spindles break, the tie rods bend, the upper control arms bend, and then they typically bend the chassis right behind the cab, you know, and need bump stops. So, like, really the most common thing that we offer, we have a bump stop kit, we have a tie rod kit, an upper control arm, and a replacement spindle. And that seems to be the most popular thing amongst Raptor owners because you can basically take, you know, $7,000 to $8,000 of parts, invest them into a truck that you're already heavily invested into, and now it's safe and it's reliable and it's not going to malfunction out on the trail, you know. So we take it from basically stage one all the way to stage five with that truck based on people's interest and what they want to do. But it's such a capable vehicle from the factory that really just you know, helping Ford get everything that they had in mind out of it.
Sure. So looking at 2015, what's on the horizon, Bobby Woods?
Well, man, it's a busy month. We're working at the shop right now just developing new parts. We've got the tech in town right now getting the laser up and running. So we've got a new laser and a new press brake in-house. And, you know, obviously those are some pretty wild machines. So we've got this week it's getting those machines up and running. And then the following week my girlfriend and soon-to-be fiancé graduates from college, and I've got to go to Idaho and move her down here. And the following week we go to Indianapolis for 1 week for the Indy 500 with Napa and Carlisle, and then we get back, and the following weekend we race in Reno. And you know, somewhere in between all of this we're building tons and tons of parts and just shuffling stuff out the door. So it's a crazy month, but I think that by mid-June it'll be settled down a little bit. It'll kind of be the, you know, different day, same business down at Rogue.
But I gotta kind of put you on the spot on this one because the rumors have been flying, and I want to hear from the horse's mouth, because I know for the longest time you were with Soil and it wasn't possible. But any point in the future we're going to see you at Crandon Labor Day?
You know, oddly enough, I went last year. We just had such a bad run that a lot of people don't know that we were there. You know, last year we made the trek from Reno. went to Crandon at Labor Day and really wanted to do well, but went relatively unprepared. You know, it's such a big event with so much testing that goes into it. And I mean, the teams that run really well back there, the Johnny Greaveses, Chad Hordes, and CJ Greaves and Kincaid, those guys are putting down, you know, hundreds of laps at that place long before Labor Day. And to do well, you really need to go back there and spend some time and get the converter and the gear and the shock package dialed in for Crandon. And, you know, last year we went kind of on a not a best or a worst-case scenario, but just a mid-case scenario that we could afford to go back there and run and continue to compete and do well out here on the budget that we had. And it was just kind of a bad business decision, honestly. We didn't have enough money for it to go right, you know, and lost the motor on the first day and had to make the decision to not run the rest of the weekend. But to answer your question, we're doing so good in the Lucas Oil Series right now, and it shows so much potential for long-term growth. There's so many people that are interested in coming and doing this form of racing in this particular series that, you know, I've got a very business-minded outlook on it, and I want to do well and be champion at it. And I'm going to race when there's opportunity to benefit monetarily. You know, I'm not going to go to Crandon or Sturgis or any torque race unless it can make money. You know, because the reality of it is it's just so expensive to do. So, you know, right now and for the long-term future, I think that the Lucas Oil exclusively is where I'll be. You know, and if things change and you know, multiple programs present themselves or we get to that point, then we'll look into that. But I just don't believe that I'll be making the trek across country anytime soon.
You know, let's talk a little bit about desert racing. I know, you know, obviously you're friends with Martellis. You got, you know, General Tire backing. Any chance we're going to maybe in the future a one-off at, say, the Mint 400 in something or dabble in desert racing at all?
I mean, honestly, way more so than dabble. I want nothing more than to expand my career into the desert, and that I do see to be a feasible option in the immediate future. But it's just, you know, from the way that I see it, you have you know, you have 10 teams, in my opinion, that run competitively and passionately to win. You know, guys, BJ, Tavo, Andy, the Tisco guys. I mean, I'm not really up, you know, on all the teams that are hot, but, you know, I follow Race Desert. I know the guys that race for Voss, you know, guys that are racing for the win every weekend. But that's how I want to race, and those guys obviously aren't giving up opportunities because they're competitive. And then the guys that are doing it from a hobbyistic standpoint, that are doing it for fun, that are going out and pre-running and having beers with their buddies and really just enjoying the beauty and the nostalgia of the desert, you know, they want to spend as much time in the truck as possible. So I haven't found an opportunity yet where I can race someone else's equipment, but I think that with, you know, with my knowledge of tuning and manufacturing and building, you know, similar vehicles, and I think I'd be a really good asset to any team. I just haven't found the right outlet yet. So, you know, I'm looking towards it, and inevitably, if I don't get a ride in somebody else's equipment in the next 2 to 3 years, we're going to build our own team and go out and do it the old-fashioned way, just like we have in short course. So, but yeah, to answer your question, I would love nothing more than to run the Mint 400, the Parker 425. The 500, the 1,000, probably Vegas Torino, you know, whatever the big five may be at the time, that's kind of the series that I'd like to put together, is just to go do the big five events and, you know, just put my best foot forward and try to kick ass and take names.
Well, before we let you go, one last question. We always ask the Lucas Oil this. Obviously, you know, Lucas Oil got a bunch of amazing tracks on the calendar. What's your favorite one to run on?
It really just depends on the weekend, man. The only one I don't really like is Utah. It's just really tight and it's slick. I mean, it just doesn't allow the trucks to really get out and eat. I mean, Elsinore's badass because the jumps are so big. The fans love it. It's a little bit dangerous with a lot of people around, but I love going to Elsinore. I really like Vegas, and not because it's my home track, but it's pretty high speed and there's a good deal of passing there, so I would have to say that Vegas is probably my favorite track, and without a doubt was before they shortened it.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time to call in today, and yeah, anybody that wants to find out more information on Rogue Off-Road, where can they go?
RogueRacing.com, and you know, you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, and it's Rogue Racing USA. You know, we do take a lot of pride in the fact that all of our employees are American, and you know, we do make everything in-house and here in Nevada and Las Vegas. So we have a lot of pride in the fact that none of our stuff's outsourced. You know, we offer some stuff that's competitive with companies that are outsourcing all their products to Taiwan, and we just believe in supporting a strong American economy. So they can go to RogueRacing.com or RogueRacingUSA on all social networks.
Awesome. Well, thanks for calling in today, Robbie, and good luck. It sounds like you got a busy month ahead of you.
Yeah, well, thank you, guys. I appreciate the opportunity, and feel free to stay in touch and come by and see us when you're in Las Vegas.
Yep, definitely will. Thanks, Robbie.
Thank you, guys. Bye.
All right, that was Robbie Woods. You know, one of the great personalities in off-road racing, and man, it'd be great to see Robbie in the desert at some point soon in a trophy truck. I think it'd be pretty exciting to get him and see how he does. I think he'd do really well. And one of those guys, he literally does everything himself. He, you know, he wrenches on his cars. He's not one of those that just, you know, shows up via private plane to the racetrack and drives his truck and then checks out. I mean, he's really involved with his program, you know, you know, prepping the truck, building the truck, you know, how it runs, you know, maintenance on it. And, you know, that's what I've always respected about the guy. He definitely, you know, has built his own brand and you know, and made a lot from nothing and got a lot of respect for a guy like that. So thanks to Robbie Woods for calling in. We're going to take a short break. We come back, we're going to have more Lucas Oil Short Course. We're going to have George Hamill, UTV racer. He's going to be calling in just a few minutes. So stay tuned to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink, lit up by Rigid Industries, and schooled by Dirtfish Rally School.
Dirtfish Rally School is the premier rally driving school on the West Coast, located in Snoqualmie, Washington. If you're looking for a ton of fun with world-class driving instructors honing your skills, Dirtfish is the place for you. Dirtfish has 315 acres of playground with mixed surfaces for your driving experience. You can spend anywhere from 2 hours to 3 intense days of instruction refining your driving and racing skills. Whether you are looking for credits towards your Rally America license, honing your racing skills, or just having a fun time, Dirtfish is your school. Your classroom is behind wheel of a 300-horsepower, rally-prepped Subaru STI. These cars have protective cages, suspension modifications, and are built for one purpose: to push you to your limit. By the end of your time at Dirtfish, you will have the confidence to rally with the best. Whether you're looking for a thrilling first-time rally experience or to increase your knowledge and time in the driver's seat, Dirtfish has a driving experience to suit your needs. For any information on their classes, corporate events, or their facility, check them out on the web at www.dirtfish.com or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Dirtfish Rally. Rigid Industries is the original and number one LED light bar manufacturer in the world. Torture tested by some of the best drivers in motorsports, Rigid LED lighting products use cutting-edge technology and can stand up to the harshest conditions Mother Nature can dish out. Designed, engineered, and assembled in the United States, Rigid LED lighting is the only choice for your off-road vehicle or boat. Find out more information on the entire line of Rigid Industries LED lighting products at www.rigidindustries.com. Very few companies can call themselves an industry leader. Racetech Seats is one of the few. It doesn't matter if you race off-road, rally, touring cars, sprint cars, drag racing, or boats. Chances are, Racetech Seats have a seat that will keep you safe, secure, and comfortable, allowing you to concentrate on winning. Racetech Seats meet and exceed the FIA crash test standard, are Hans compatible, flame resistant, and offer full containment, meaning you can race knowing you are protected by the best. More information can be found at www.racetech-usa.com. That's www.racetech-usa.com. Racetech Seats. Our passion is keeping you safe.
Come to the island and rip it up this summer. Wakeboard Island. It's a skate park on water at Blue Water Resort and Casino. Check out the two-tower cable system that pulls you and your board over the water. No boats to watch out for. No fumes. Wakeboard Island is open to all skill levels with an open center section for beginners. And for trick riders, a double side kicker in a 60-foot flat box. Wakeboard Island. The best ride this side of the Rockies. Adjacent to the River's Edge Cantina at Blue Water Resort and Casino on the Colorado River in Parker, Arizona.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink, lit up by Rigid Industries, and schooled by Dirtfish Rally School. And speaking of Wakeboard Island, I got to tell you, the Wakeboard Island Cable Comp, Babe Shredder Cable Comp, the all-women's wakeboard cable comp that happened at the Blue Water Casino on Saturday, off the hook. Talk about a great show. Those of you that came out, thanks for coming out. Those of you that didn't, shame on you. You missed out on one heck of a good time. Sure, there's definitely going to be another one sometime, hopefully later on this year. But as we roll into the the second part of this show. It looks like we got George Hamill, UTV racer, calling in. So we're going to see if we can pick up George. How's everything going, George?
It's going good, Jim. How are you?
Well, everything is going going good on my end. Sounds like you know, lots of stuff happening this weekend, and it seems like you're a pretty busy guy this season yourself.
Yeah, it seems like it, man. This is, off-road racing is a little new to me. I mean, coming from dirt bikes, but yeah, I'm excited. This weekend is my hometown race, so I couldn't be more pumped.
Yeah, let's go. You know, let's talk. For those of you, you know, a lot of listeners maybe aren't quite as familiar with you as, say, some of the other guys that we have on the show. You know, let's go back. I mean, you know, your roots are in motocross racing, correct? And then you had a pretty tragic accident. But you know, kind of take us through that, and how you got to where you're at today.
Yeah. Well, first, thanks for giving me the opportunity to share my story. I used to be a professional dirt bike racer. And back in 1998, I was at Glen Helen for my first outdoor national, and I fell and had an accident. Basically, what I was doing is I was coming down the big hill there. It's called Mount St. Helens, and it has a lot of braking bumps at the bottom of the hill. And I got pulled off the bike a little bit off the back of it, and I got whiskey throttle, and I hit the next jump going fourth gear wide open, and the bike kind of bucked me off the back of it, and I flew through the air. You know, rolling up the windows with my arms. And when I landed on my feet, and I broke both my legs, my tailbone, my back, both my arms, and fractured a little piece of my skull in the impact. And that gave me a spinal cord injury low at L1 in my vertebrae, and made me unable to move the lower portion of my body. But since 1998, I've had some really, really good rehab, and I'm now able to stand up and walk around, but I was in a wheelchair for about 5 years, and now I wear carbon fiber leg braces on the lower portion of my legs to stand up and walk like a penguin.
Well, you know, you say that, but, you know, looking at this, I mean, you know, you've done triathlons. I mean, it's pretty amazing the way, you know, because doctors pretty much had told you that you probably weren't ever going to walk again, and you've come back, and, I mean, doing triathlons, I mean, biking, swimming, you know what I mean, the running. I mean, you pretty much have, it's pretty amazing, I mean, what you're able to do now. I mean, it had to have been a tough road the past, you know, 10 years.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Tough road is definitely a good way to put it, but, you know, just like you and everybody else that's in, you know, any type of form of racing, you have a competitive attitude. And even if you're competing against yourself to get your body better, you just really want to get better. And that's kind of what I did. I just, you know, I said to myself when the doctor told me you're never going to be able to walk again, I said, well, you know, I don't really believe that. So I'm going to go ahead and do as much as I can to see if I can beat the odds. And, you know, throughout, you know, since 1998, like you said, I was able to do a lot of really, really cool stuff. I was able to compete in Ironman triathlon last year, and I completed it, and I did much better than I actually thought I would be able to do. The funny thing about those triathlons is the triathlon's not the hardest part. It's going up to it and training for the actual event, because you have to put so much effort into it. I mean, you're training for, you know, a year, two, three, you know, 10 years, whatever these guys do. For me, it was just a year, and I trained for a full year just to do an Ironman 70.3, which is I think it's a 1.2-mile swim, and we did it in the ocean, and then a 56-mile bicycle ride, and then I think it's a 13.5-mile run, which I did in a racing pushchair.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny you talk about that, because I had Dave Mira on air, I don't know, like, you know, about 6 months back, and talking with Dave, who, you know, he's been on a bike his entire, you know, career, and obviously done rally cars and stuff, but he triathlon. The training for triathlons, he's like, I don't care what sport you're training for, he's like, when you decide to do a triathlon, he's like, it's just an entire different level of fitness.
Yeah, it's crazy, but it's cool though, because it shows you that you know, doing other sports and participating in what you can actually do with your body, and what you know, if you put your mind to it, how much effort you can actually achieve and get, you know, out of what you want. So for me, that's just, you know, it's always been something for me. I give 110% for everything I do, you know, my work career, my outside stuff like off-road racing. And I was even able to, I got the opportunity to participate in the X Games even after I was paralyzed. I got able to walk again, and I started riding pedal bikes, like, you know, like mountain bike, and I would strap my feet to the pedals so they wouldn't fly off. And I kind of started getting my leg strength up a bit. and I was able to ride, you know, mini bikes like 110s and, you know, stuff like that, just so I could sit down and I wouldn't stand up at all, and I would just sit down on it and kind of, you know, move around in the street a little bit, and then I would come back and I would just lean up against the wall so I didn't have to put my feet down or hurt my legs. And so I started doing that, and after 2 or 3 years of just riding the mini bikes around and riding the bicycles, my legs ended up getting strong enough to where I could actually stand up holding on to the handlebars. And then so I got a big bike. I ended up getting a YZ250F. And in 2009, one of my buddies that's also in a wheelchair, he told me that there was an event at the X Games called Super X Adaptive. And it was pretty sweet because they took all of us, which are, you know, limb loss people, paralyzed people in wheelchairs, and they threw us out on the same track. The only thing we didn't get to do was the whoops. And we did all the jumps. We got to ride the same supercross track. It was bitching, man. I couldn't have asked for anything more. They treated us like freaking rock stars. It was awesome.
Yeah. Literally being on, you know, the biggest stage of them all as far as, you know, action sports go, that had to have been, you know, really special for you.
Oh, I loved it. I mean, I was actually doing pretty good. I was in second place for most of the race, and I was, you know, in line to hopefully get a silver medal. But I took a digger and broke my arm, so that ended that one for me. But the coolest thing about it was is that with the broken arm, I still, you know, made my sponsors happy because they put me on SportsCenter.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I guess it's
yeah, so it worked out pretty good.
So, yeah, well, let's talk a little bit now, I mean, about what you're doing now. You know, you're UTV racing. It looks like, you know, you've been doing it, you know, I guess this is your first year in UTV racing, correct?
Yeah, exactly. You hit the nail on the head. So I ended up actually wanting to, you know, keep continuing the dirt bike stuff, but I fell off again and broke my back for the third time. So that was the nail in the coffin for the dirt bikes, and I decided that, you know, with age comes a cage, like everybody says. So it was an easy decision for me to try to do something else. And the UTV stuff was really interesting to me because, you know, I always had like a Rhino and we'd go cruise around in the desert and, you know, just have fun and trail ride. But I always wanted to actually do the racing stuff. And I looked into it a little bit in 2012 and saw that the UTV stuff was pretty much the most affordable form of, you know, closed course, short course racing. And I talked with some people, you know, here and there, and then I got the opportunity to speak with the guys from the UTV Wolfpack, which is the Polaris Rockstar team. And they had some vehicles for sale towards the end of last year, and I spoke with them. And, you know, they ended up selling me one of their vehicles, which is a race-ready vehicle, and all I had to do was, you know, put different stickers on it for my sponsors. And those guys helped me out a bunch and show me the ropes, and I'm helping support the UTV Wolfpack out here in Arizona doing the Lucas Oil Off-Road Regional Series here.
Well, obviously you've got the background in motocross, and, you know, there's been plenty of motocross guys transfer over to short course. I mean, McGrath, I mean, you know, Deegan, these type of guys. But, you know, anything you've been able to, you know, anything that transfers over from a bike to short course, I mean, you know, what have you been able to take away from your bike experience that's lent itself to racing short course?
Well, I don't want to sound like an echo because all those guys talk about the same stuff, but it's pretty much the same thing. I mean, the jumps is the main thing. And then obviously seeing lines and being able to understand how the track is going to change. You know, in the first time I went out on the course for the short course racing, I understood that, you know, the track was going to have different lines and stuff, but they water the crap out of the track. You know, like when we were at Wild Forest Pass, the first two laps were really, really slippery. And then it takes about, you know, 2 or 3 minutes after that, and then the track is really hard-packed and starts getting blue grooves, and the ruts start getting really deep, and the vehicles act a lot different. And it's really easy to just understand that when you have the motocross background. And, you know, obviously jumping is something that you need to feel comfortable with. You know, somebody from a street racing background may not feel quite as comfortable as somebody that's done, you know, dirt bikes or type of racing.
Yeah, well, you know, talking about short course, I mean, but, you know, there's some challenges to that. It's, you know, to me, I've always raced desert. You know, I've, you know, been on, you know, raced short course. I mean, I've driven trucks but never actually raced in a short course event. I mean, you know, as far as just some of the challenges, I mean, a newcomer coming into short course, I mean, what are some of the big, you know, big challenges you weren't expecting that you faced so far this year, just with vehicle, with competition, you know, anything?
The competition, I love the competition, so I don't consider that a challenge. I just consider that a goal for me. The challenges that we've been facing is just kind of getting the learning curve as far as all the mechanics go. And in short course, with the UTVs at least, you break a lot of stuff. You break axles, you break belts, and some of the stuff is pretty fragile on the actual vehicles. And since I'm used to dirt bike racing, you know, you can do whatever you want to the motorcycle, and it's really not going to break unless you actually fall over. And the challenges that we've been having is, you know, if somebody bumps into you, or like last race at Elsinore, I got T-boned by another driver, and he broke the whole side of the car. He broke both rear right axles, broke some A-arms, and, you know, the vehicles are just fragile. If you get, you know, hit on a dirt bike, it doesn't happen like that. So it's a challenge for me because I need to be able to understand a little bit more the logistics behind what I need to do on the track to be able to avoid situations like that. But I'm learning very quickly, and I was able to, you know, even podium at Wild Force last time we were there too. So, you know, hopefully by the end of the year I'll be on the top step of the podium.
Yeah, for sure. General, you talk with Joey D at UTV Underground numerous times, and a lot of the UTV racers, and even, you know, the Wellers, and just that class, you know, whether it be desert racing or short course, it's growing so much. It's just crazy to see the amount of new teams, you know, coming into it, and like you said, the competition. I mean, really, if you want, you know, competition right out of the box, I mean, it's there with the UTV classes.
Yeah, it's really cool, and at the regional series, I mean, that's the top level that you can get in the UTV classes. And shoot, last time I went to Elsinore, I think there was 20 or 22 people out on the track. I mean, it was awesome. I couldn't believe it. It was like a full gate like I'm used to with dirt bikes. It was sweet, man.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit. You got to heck of a sponsorship package. I mean, you know, you know, a lot of guys fight for sponsors. I mean, and obviously, you know, you and I both know that no matter how many you have, you're still fighting for sponsor dollars. But it seems like you've been able to put together a pretty legit sponsorship package.
Yeah, well, I've been working my butt off for the last 5 years to be able to get to the point that I'm at. I heard a little bit of what Robbie Woods was saying when he talked to you at the beginning of his interview, and I did basically the same thing. I wrote down my goals that I wanted to have for the next 5 years, and I decided that I was going to be able to achieve them by taking a certain path. And my path is obviously a little different because I'm not going straight into racing. What I ended up doing was fighting to be able to walk, and then understanding that I was going to be able to ride bicycles and do the triathlon stuff. And visually speaking, when you see somebody that's, you know, paralyzed being able to ride a bicycle, that's, you know, in the public world, it's very inspirational. And I really wanted to, you know, tell my story to everybody that way. And when I was able to get, you know, on my feet, I was able to do motivational speaking at schools and all of this stuff that's outside of the realm of a normal sponsorship type of program that just gives you money because of your results. So I'm able to do all these different things. And Supercuts, which is my main sponsor, was very interested in the story and what I was doing outside of the racing world. So they decided that they would sponsor me in whatever, you know, whatever path I chose. So they did the triathlon stuff with me. I did some long-distance bicycle events, and now they've switched over to the off-road stuff with me. And I couldn't have asked for a better sponsor, man. They do everything for me. They, you know, they promote me in every single location that they have in the Southwest, Southern Arizona, and, you know, they help a ton. They're just an awesome company in general.
Yeah, you never have to take another haircut.
Yeah, that's funny. I still do pay for haircuts. They just help with off-road stuff.
too funny, man. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to call in today, and obviously you got a big race coming up, and good luck there. And anything you want to leave us with, and where can people find out more information on you?
Well, they can find more information on me and Facebook at George Hamel, GeorgeHammel, and at my website as well. It's GeorgeHammel.com. And I would definitely like to leave with just thanking, you know, all my family, my girlfriend, my friends, everybody that supported me, because I couldn't have done it without them. And they're all, you know, standing behind me 110%.
Yeah, I appreciate you taking the time to call in and had a good time, you know, today. And I think we definitely, you know, after a few more races, maybe towards the end of this year, we'll definitely need to get you back on air and kind of catch up on you know, how your first year in short course is going.
I would love to, man. I really appreciate you giving me the platform, and I hope to talk to you guys at the end of the year.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you, George.
See you, Jim.
All right. You too, buddy. All right. That was UTV short course racer George Hamill. And, yeah, definitely check out his website, georgehamill.com. You know, I'll post it up on Twitter here in a little bit. But, yeah, just an amazing guy, an amazing backstory. You know, and I think it's great that we've got him involved in off-road racing now. I think, you know, it's exciting, you know, and he's got a great story. And bringing in, you know, like, you know, Robbie and I were saying, you know, the non-endemic sponsors like Supercuts. I mean, that's huge. And, you know, just an amazing story. And you definitely need to find out more information. I know, you know, he's got some YouTube videos up on his site and tons of information on his backstory and what he's done. And you know, I tell you what, I've got full use of both my legs, and I don't know that I could do, you know, a triathlon like he's doing. I can almost guarantee I couldn't. So, you know, that's pretty damn legit as far as I'm concerned. So, big thanks to George for calling in. And man, it's been a great show. And I got to tell you, we still got lots and lots and lots to come here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show. We got a big Dirtfish Rally Report coming up after the break. We got Best in the Desert Silver State 300 results, Supercross from Vegas, Endurocross from Vegas, and a whole lot more. So you definitely want to stay tuned to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink, lit up by Rigid Industries, and schooled by Dirtfish Rally School. Because we're coming back in a few minutes, and we got a lot to cover.
Ford is taking the EcoBoost Challenge coast to coast, asking people like you to test drive Ford versus our leading competitors.
We want to find out which vehicle you prefer, and may the best car win.
I've never driven a Ford before, and I'm impressed.
They're experiencing the power and efficiency of available EcoBoost engine technology.
Wow! This car can go!
It blew the competition away for me.
Ford is totally on my radar now.
During the EcoBoost Challenge, see the amazing mix of performance and fuel efficiency of EcoBoost technology. Get up to $1,500 challenge cash on a new EcoBoost-powered Ford vehicle. Hurry to your Arizona Ford dealer today.
$1,500 challenge cash includes $1,000 challenge customer cash and $500 EcoBoost bonus cash. EcoBoost bonus cash offer available on 13 and 14 model year EcoBoost equipped vehicles. Challenge cash available on 2014 Ford vehicles. Challenge cash excludes Focus ST, S Electric, Mustang Shelby, Boss, F-150 Raptor, and Transit Connect. Take new retail delivery from dealer stock by 4/30/14. See dealer for residency restrictions and details.
Leonardo da Vinci, man, inventor, genius. An unusual, unforgettable, extraordinary exhibition with 23 exact replicas of his masterpieces and 60 models of da Vinci's inventions, crafted by the Italian family trusted with da Vinci's living legacy for over two centuries. Now on exhibit through April 22nd, only at Blue Water Resort and Casino in Parker, Arizona. For more information, go to bluewaterfun.com/da Vinci or call 866-636-0171.
The number one off-road and action motorsports radio show on the planet now has its own app. The Down and Dirty Radio Show official app is now available in the Apple App Store, Google Play Store, and Amazon Kindle Store. Just search Down and Dirty Radio Show, and you'll have all the latest news, results, and blockbuster interviews from off-road, rally, drifting, supercross, and snowcross at your fingertips. Hours of interviews from the best drivers and athletes on earth, such as Travis Pastrana, Ken Block, Tanner Faust, Brian Deegan, Robbie Gordon, and Jolene Van Vuit are yours at the touch of a button. Download today and never miss an interview again. Looking to have some screen printing, embroidery, or design work done? Intense Tees has you covered. Intense Tees provides the highest quality and detail for custom screen printing and embroidery services for corporations, schools, race teams, and all organizations alike. Complete line creation, including designing of an entire corporate identity, product line creation, support promotions, product packaging, exciting banners, polos, tees, sweatshirts, caps, and vinyl decals. Intense Tees is the official apparel provider for the Down and Dirty Off-Road Show. Find out more on the web at www.intensetees.com. That's www.intensetees.com.
Are you ready for the revolution, the Ford revolution? Well, Parker Motor Company is bringing it to you. We're bringing you the 411-horsepower Ford Raptor, the new turbocharged 252-horsepower Ford Focus ST, and the twin-turbo 365-horsepower Ford Taurus Show. Now, that's not your grandma's Taurus. Join us at Parker Motor Company, where we like to talk cars, treat you right, and show you why we are a 9-time Ford President's Award winner. Parker Motor Company, your hometown Ford and Lincoln dealer.
Dirtfish Rally School is the premier rally driving school on the West Coast, located in Snoqualmie, Washington. If you're looking for a ton of fun with world-class driving instructors honing your skills, Dirtfish is the place for you. Dirtfish has 315 acres of playground with mixed surfaces for your driving experience. You can spend anywhere from 2 hours to 3 intense days of instruction refining your driving and racing skills. Whether you are looking for credits towards your Rally America license, honing your racing skills, or just having a fun time, Dirtfish is your school. Your classroom is behind wheel of a 300-horsepower, rally-prepped Subaru STI. These cars have protective cages, suspension modifications, and are built for one purpose, to push you to your limit. By the end of your time at Dirtfish, you will have the confidence to rally with the best. Whether you're looking for a thrilling first-time rally experience or to increase your knowledge and time in the driver's seat, Dirtfish has a driving experience to suit your needs. For any information on their classes, corporate events, or their facility, check them out on the web at www.dirtfish.com or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Dirtfish Rally.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink, lit up by Rigid Industries, and schooled by Dirtfish Rally School. I'm your host, Jim Beaver, and man, it's been a great, great show thus far. None other than Robbie Woods calling in to kick things off. Then we followed it up with George Hamill and talk about an inspirational story. If you're just tuning in, you definitely need to jump back after the show and listen to the first hour of the show, because you missed out on some great interviews and some solid talk, man. It's always fun talking with Robbie Woods and George Hamill. Just an amazing story there, and definitely worth going back and listening to in the archives. And the easiest way to do that, through the Down and Dirty Radio Show app. So get that app today. Other note, you heard the Parker Motor Company commercial during the break. Those of you looking for a Raptor, I know firsthand they've got some Raptors in stock on the lot. Give them a call. I know those Raptors are hard to come by right now. Find out more information at parkermotor.com. But that leads us to our Dirtfish Rally Report for this week. And I got to tell you, it is slam-packed full, brought to you by our good friends at Dirtfish Rally School up in Snoqualmie, Washington. Find out more information at www.dirtfish.com. And you definitely want to book those summer classes. They are filling up fast. I mean, lightning quick, they're filling up there at Dirtfish Rally School. If you're going to make your summer vacation up there in Washington, you need to do it now, because those classes, they may not have any left for you by the time you get around to booking them. So if you're interested, you need to book those summer classes right now, because Dirtfish is filling up. But our Dirtfish Rally Report for this week, talk about a slam-packed full Dirtfish Rally Report. The Rally America Oregon Trail Rally going on this past weekend. Always a big one, because it's the only West Coast Rally America National of the year. And the big news coming out of that, Dirtfish Rally School teaming up with Dylan Vanway, for the remainder of the 2014 season. So congrats goes out to my friends at Dirtfish Rally School and Dylan Vanway for teaming up together. And other notes, Dirtfish shop manager Derek Nelson, he was crew for Travis Pastrana at this event, and Dirtfish instructor Brenton Kelly, he helped it with FY Racing, and Dirtfish mechanic Luke Swersch, he crewed for Romana Lagerman and Natalie Richard, who ended up taking first place. So a lot of Dirtfish familia teaming up for teams in in the Rally America Oregon Trail Rally. Man, talk about everybody getting in on it. Everybody getting in from Dirtfish Rally School. I know Dirtfish had a great booth up there at Oregon Trail Rally, and I know a lot of you tweeted me and said, "Hey, I stopped by and saw your friends at Dirtfish." So thanks for saying hey to them, and hopefully you booked your classes. So, yeah, getting on with the Dirtfish Rally Report, obviously Oregon Trail Rally, that was the big one this week. The rally community, just a great entry list. And those of you following along online, it was kind of interesting because Saturday we had the big airing of I'm losing my train of thought here. Rally America on NBC Sports 100 Acre Wood Rally, and we had Rally America Oregon Trail Rally happening at the same time. And I got to tell you, those of you following along online, Travis Pastrana and David Higgins, talk about a dogfight between the two Subaru teammates on this one. At one point, David Higgins got a flat, and he went like 8-10 miles on a flat on those Method race wheels. And it ended up Pastrana was able to make up a margin. Well, then, Higgins, he's trying to make up time. And one stage, it sounds like Pastrana got two flats on the same stage. So Higgins ended up making up that time and then some on Travis Pastrana. So when it all shook out, David Higgins took the win once again. Travis Pastrana finishing up in second place. And then third in the open class was Adam Yemen. So, man, it was definitely just the pure craziness, insanity at the top of the ranks of the open class. So your 1-2-3 was Higgins, Pastrana, Yemen, and then fourth overall, first in super production, went to David Sturks. And then second in super production, the new Dirtfish Rally driver, Dylan Vanway, he took home second place in super production, fifth overall. And interesting note, I think Dylan Vanway led most of the race, and had some problems towards the end and allowed Sturks to get around. They had a fight. I mean, we're talking a fight down to a difference of, I'm looking at it now, 7-second difference between Sturks and Dylan Vanway. So talk about a shootout that those two guys had. Sixth overall, fourth in open class, George Plisek, Lachlan O'Sullivan and Scott Putnam, two former guests of the Down and Dirty Radio Show. They took home seventh overall, third in super production. And then your two-wheel drive champions in a shootout with Andrew Comrie-Picard went to Ramana Lagerman and Natalie Richard. So a big shout-out goes out to Ramana and Natalie. I mean, Ramana, he's definitely, you look at North American rallying, and he's a name. He's been a fixture for years. I mean, a former Subaru factory driver, now he showed up in a 95 BMW M3 and ended up taking home the win. I know Natalie posted up that was like her first ever two-wheel drive trophy, or at least Rally America two-wheel drive, first place trophy. So congrats goes out to them. And I can tell you, I know at some point in the future, we're going to have that team, I actually got a message from Natalie earlier today. So we're going to have them on air at some point in the future, you two-wheel drive Rally America champs from Oregon Trail. But ACP, Andrew Comrie-Picard, he took home the second spot in that Ford Fiesta ST. 10th overall, fourth in super production, went to Mickey Moran and Alice Von Dennis. So, man, it was a wild one. Definitely a wild Rally America Oregon Trail Rally. Rally America heading to Pennsylvania later this month. It looks like over Memorial Day weekend, they'll be in Pennsylvania. And I know Ken Block will be in action in that one. So, Ken's going to be there to shake things up with Higgins, Pastrana and the boys. So, should be interesting, once that happens. And I'm sure Antoine Lestage, he missed Oregon Trail. He may be back. He may be back as well. So, we can get Antoine, Higgins, Pastrana, Ken Block, and Adam Yeoman in the mix. And you got five heavyweights that are going to be doing battle in Pennsylvania. So here's hoping. The other rally event, major rally event, World Rallycross Championship. It kicked off this weekend you know, in losing my train of thought here, but in Portugal. So we've been hearing, you know, about, you know, World Rallycross Championship, and it's really the past 6 months, you know, it's kind of been a buzz, and finally debuting, and looks like the Supercars, your winner was Petter Solberg, taking home his first ever Rallycross win, and doing it in, you know, got to say, doing it in style there, round one, inaugural round of the FIA World Rallycross Championship. So congrats goes out to Petter. I mean, obviously he's got tons of World Rally Championship cred, but first ever win in Rallycross competition. Second went to Andreas Backerud in the Olsberg MSC car. Third went to Reynis Nittis. Reynis, veteran of GRC Lights competition from last year. He's in another Olsberg car. So two out of three for Olsberg's on the podium. I got to say that is a pretty pretty good showing for our friends at Olsberg MSE. Topi Häkkinen, he ends up in fourth, your GRC champion from last year. Anton Marklin in fifth, and Cohen Powell's in the sixth spot. So, yeah, big one for Petter Solberg, breaking through in style this year for the World Rallycross Championship. Let's hope we can see Petter in GRC at some point this year. I think I'd like to see Petter in action, you know, on the shores over here. But going to the lights class, in you know, all of these, you know, all these lights drivers, I'm looking down the list and saying, hey, man, I know these kids from last year in Global Rallycross. Sebastian Eriksson taking home the win. Kevin Eriksson in second. Richard Granson in third. Yigit Timur in fourth. Daniel Holton fifth. And Alexander Westlund in sixth. So you're going to have to go back to some of those GRC live radio episodes from last year, because I can tell you for a fact, Sebastian Eriksson, Kevin Eriksson, Alexander Westlund, they were all interviewed on air. So, yeah, you're definitely going to want to go skip back to GRC Live Radio from last year and catch some of those interviews if you want more information on these young gun drivers. So, yeah, World Rallycross Championship, round one in the books, and sounds like it was a pretty darn good time out of the box coming to North America at some point this year in Canada. Troy Rivers. So those of you Americans that want to make your way to or North American fans that want to see World Rallycross Championship in action, Troy Rivers later on this year. But other news, WRC, they've, you know, obviously, you know, gosh, talk about some turmoil in World Rally, because I'm so mixed up. There's too many W's. World Rally Championship this year. You know, it's, you know, we at one point we had drivers and teams standing off against the FIA, refusing to do interviews and all kinds of stuff. But needless to say, it's been an interesting year for the WRC. Let's put it that way. It's been an interesting year. So yeah, so now you've got a point where we've actually got World Rally Championship and the drivers and the teams and everybody on the same page, and for 2015 they're going to put in this the shootout plan. And basically what it amounts to is WRC is tough to film for TV. It's kind of boring. There's no drama. Let's face it. I love watching it, but it is what it is. And thanks to MAV TV for airing World Rally Championship here in the state. But yeah, so what they're going to do with this WRC shootout plan, it's still a fluid concept, but it sounds to me like they're going to, you know, it sounds to me what they're going to do is they're going to make one, like, final stage on the last day and make it bigger, and it's going to count for more. And what's going to happen is your top 10 drivers are all going to have a shot at, you know, going into the last stage normally in a rally, you know, when you've got 15 seconds, you know, first from second, second place doesn't have a chance or just that close. So what they're going to do is they're going to make that final stage kind of build the drama into it. And no matter how far back you are time-wise, you're going to have a shot at moving up at least one position. So obviously if you're in first place, you're not, you know, going to screw up and get 10th all of a sudden, but you could get second. And, You know, so there builds a little bit of drama. You know, the winner won't be determined until after the final stage. Obviously, first and second will have a shot at it. Third place will have a shot at second place. You know, it's going to be interesting. It's a fluid concept right now. They're ironing out details, but they're trying to build up to this and see what happens. And I think it's a good thing for World Rally Championship. I think the traditionalists are going to buck it. You know, and I know we're on radio. I said buck, not yeah. my AM FM syndicators right now are you know, they're biting their tongue. But it's interesting. It's something for you rally fans to definitely keep an eye on throughout the rest of this year to see how that plays out. But I think it could build for an amazing 1 hour TV package if you had that last stage, say, live on TV and all the television had to do was concentrate on one stage and put cameras up along the way and build up to this big moment. I think it could be cool. Let's hope they run with it and see where it leads. And definitely an interesting storyline for 2015 you should be paying attention to if you're a rally fan. So, that wraps up our Dirtfish Rally Report this week, brought to you by our good friends at Dirtfish Rally School up there in Snoqualmie, Washington. Find out more information at www.dirtfish.com or follow them on social media. They're all over the place at Dirtfish Rally. So, that is the Dirtfish Rally Report, and we're rolling right into some Best in the Desert Silver State 300 coverage. And I got to tell you, it was a wild one at the Silver State 300. Once again, let's wait to get to the car and trucks. Let's do some motorcycle and quad and UTV results first, just to kind of, you know, I don't know, throw you guys for a loop or something. It's Cinco de Mayo. I'm in one of those moods. Somebody bring me a margarita. Anyways, your first place in the bike class, they went to David Pearson and Matt Gunsell, taking home the win on the bikes. We had in Open Pro went to the team of Ricky Brabeck and Robbie Bell. Third in the Open class and third overall on the bikes, Jordan Kundert and Kyle Masberg. And fourth overall, Open Pro, Nick Burson, Taylan Taylor. And fifth place, Chris Brown and Tim Fitzpatrick. Fifth overall, first in Over 30 Pro. So other winners, we had Tony Gira taking home the win in Ironman Expert. First place in Open Expert went to Matt Johansson, Travis Porter. Quad Pro, first place, David Scott, eighth overall on a quad. I got to say, that is a very, very solid result for a quad. Your 250 Pro, Jeremy Pervines, Daniel Bradley. First place in Over 40 Expert, Jason Lullis and Chris Cameron. Over 40 Pro went to Todd Abertowski and Stephen Fuller. And skipping down here to UTVs, Justin Lambert, Jeremy Staggs in the Polaris, taking home the win. Second in the UTV, Scott Kiger, Mark Holtz, taking home that second spot in the UTV, both on Polaris, as I might add. And your first place in Over 30 Expert, Joseph DeLucia, Kellen Hardy, and Charles Cray. Ironman Amateur, your winner was Steve Anger. Ty Sanders took home Quad Ironman Expert. Quad Expert went to Paul Ingen, Dustin Tanguay, and Gregory Ochoa. Open Amateur went to Matt Benuelos, Edgar Inda, and William Benuelos. And your 250 Expert, David Watts, Tyler Harvey, Chuck Harvey. And I think we got a few more winners here in the UTV ranks. UTV Sportsman went to Jeff Carey and Terry Carey. And your 850 Pro UTV in a John Deere went to Scott Martinez, Rachel Martinez, and Michael Mercurio. And Quad Ironman Amateur winner is Clark Marcy. And that rounds out our UTV quad and bike winners. So congratulations goes out to all of those. And now we're going to get on to the big dogs, the guys you want to know all about right now. We're getting to the car and truck finishers, and I got to tell you, it was a shootout. And once again, Jason Voss, man, he is definitely bringing his A game here recently. He took home the win. by a solid 5 minutes over over Sean Kroll in second. Solid result for Sean Kroll. Congrats goes out to them. Third overall, first in class 1500, the general tire car of Justin Lofton took home that first place spot. Corey Sarkin Sullivan taking home that second spot about 3 minutes back from Justin. Fifth overall, third in Trick Truck, Steve Strobel. And the team of Ologist and McCachran, sixth overall, fourth in Trick Truck. Harley Lantner, third in class 1500, seventh overall. Edward Laguna and Charlie Holbrook, they were eighth overall, fourth in 1500. Cardi Beal, he took home fifth in Trick Truck, ninth overall. And rounding out your top ten was Ray Griffith in the general tire car, 10th overall, 5th in class 1500. Other winners, your class 10 winner, Cody and Brian Freeman taking home the win in class 10, 7200 went to Jeff Horsley. And skipping out to your 8000 winner went to Don and Chris German. And I think we missed the 6100 winner along the line somewhere. We had 6100 winner went out to Chad Hall. So congrats goes out to Chad Hall and 6100. And skipping down for some more results here. Class 1100 winner, Joey Rotoro. Class 6000 winner, Keith Sato. 8100 winner, Johnny Webster. 1700, Skylar Gramble. Class 3700 went to Brian Davidson. And class 4400, Jeff Rector. Class 1800, Mike Alden. Almost said Michael Aldean. Class 2000, Brittany and Tamara Myers, along with Steve Myers, they took on the class 2000 win. Class 3000 went to Tim Brown. And that rounds out all of your winners from the Best in the Desert Silver State 300. Like I was saying before, you know, I kind of feel bad for the Silver State race. It gets sandwiched into all these major mega events and kind of gets forgotten about. You know, you got obviously Parker 425 kicking things off, then followed up by the Mint 400. And then, and then there's kind of a dead zone, and you've got the Silver State 300. But the problem is right after the Silver State 300, you got the Baja 500. So it's kind of slated there the end of April, 1st of May, and kind of the forgotten about race that a lot of people pass over. If you're running for a Best of the Desert Championship, it's a big deal. But if you're not, you're just cherry picking the big races, such as myself, it kind of gets passed over, and entries are a little bit down. But it's still a solid race and very fast. I know looking at the first 100 miles, guys were averaging like 75 miles an hour on the course. It's insane for trophy trucks to be averaging 75 miles an hour. I mean, it's really ridiculously insane fast. So Silver State 300 in the books. Congratulations goes out to Jason Boff, Justin Lofton, your two big winners. And moving on, next race is Vegas to Reno in August. So a little bit of a summer break for Best of the Desert fans. And, I'll be in action at Vegas to Reno. That's my next race that we're talking mid-August. I'll be in action in the number 15. And that's a big one. So you're going to see a lot of guys. I know Menzies will be running that. BJ Baldwin will be running that. A lot of guys will be coming out of the woodwork for Vegas to Reno, the longest off-road desert race in the United States. So that's up next. Other desert racing, events. We got Baja 500 coming up in exactly about 1 month from today. So Baja 500, it's on tap for here in about a month, and you'll probably be hearing a lot about that here in the upcoming weeks here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show. We'll be talking it, dissecting it, giving you a preview, and talking all things Baja 500. So. We had Endurocross kicking off in Vegas and Supercross kicking off in our Endurocross kicking off in Vegas, Supercross winding down in Vegas. Still had some champions to be determined in Supercross. We had 250s. We had, obviously Villopoto had the 450 locked up. We had that second spot still up for grabs. But let's talk a little bit about the 250 East, because we had to wrap those guys up. And the winner for 250 East went to Jeremy Martin, Justin Bogle in second, Matt Basilia in third, Kyle Cunningham fourth, James Dukatis rounding out your top five. So your class champion for the 250s is Justin Bogle. He's your East Coast champion for the 250s. We had Martin Davalos second, Vince Freese third, Kyle Cunningham fourth, and Cian Cerullo, he's in fifth, still hanging in there, even though he hadn't run a few events. And I definitely think later on this year, next year, he's going to be odds-on favorite to take a title. Had a heck of a run going on before having to have shoulder surgery, so that is always a bummer. Your 250 West regional winner was Dean Wilson. We had Cooper Webb in second, Justin Hill third, Cole Seeley fourth, Malcolm Stewart fifth, and Jason Anderson, who was in that heated battle with Seeley, he finished up in sixth spot. So Seeley definitely making up some points on him. So, but your final standings for the 250 West, it was enough for Jason Anderson to take that championship. So Jason Anderson, your West regional 250, he is your champion for this year. Cole Seeley in second with a solid second place. Dean Wilson in third, Justin Hill fourth, Cooper Webb fifth, Malcolm Stewart rounding out your sixth spot. Got to tell you, man, Seeley, there's got to be a little bit of what could have been. You know, there's those two races earlier in the year to kick things off that Seeley, last lap passes by Anderson. And, I think those two races of Seeley, could have, two laps determined this championship. And they were two laps in the first two races of the year. So think about that in this off season, and tough break for Seeley. But talk about a great battle between those two all year long, and running each other clean. It wasn't like it was a dirty battle. That's always got to get you excited. So your East-West shootout, this one's always fun because your East Coast guys, your West Coast guys, they all compete against each other, battling it out to see who really is the number one 250 rider in the country. And it was Justin Hill taking home the win, Dean Wilson second, Jason Anderson third, Cooper Webb fourth, Jeremy Martin fifth. So Justin Hill, congrats goes out to him. He took home that East-West shootout and the bragging rights heading into motocross season. Skipping up to the 450s, and it was once again Ryan Villopoto putting a stamp on that championship he already won on the 450 Kawasaki. He took home the win, and, we had that heated battle for the second spot. And I got to tell you, Dungy bringing his A game to Vegas, taking home that second spot. So, it was all Dungy in second, Kenny Rocks in third, Justin Barsha fourth, Trey Kennard fifth. And I got to tell you, Kennard obviously missed a couple races to start things out. He had a solid campaign on the 450s once he got going this year. Definitely going to see more from him later on this season. Josh Hill sixth, Josh Grant seventh, Jake Weimer eighth, Chris Blows ninth, Andrew Short in tenth. So your final point standings for the 450 class, Ryan Villopoto taking home the win or the championship. We all knew that. Dungy in second with 3-4 points. Kenny Roxon, solid rookie campaign for him on a 450. He's in third. James Bubba Stewart had an amazing year in Supercross. He's in fourth. I think he's going to be one to watch in motocross this year. I think Bubba Stewart is going to be definitely a solid competitor this year. Barsha in fifth, Short sixth, Brayton seventh, Josh Hill eighth, Brock Tickle ninth, and Will Hahn rounding out your top 10 for Supercross. And, man, it was a great year, probably one of the best seasons in recent memory for Supercross this year. Just every week in, week out, it was an amazing, amazing season. They also in Vegas announced their 2015 schedule. So I'm going to give you a quick rundown. Tickets are already on sale for a lot of the rounds. So if you're interested in going to an event, you and I both know these things sell out in a hurry. You want to make your way there. But January 3rd, kicking things off in Anaheim. Anaheim again, Oakland, Anaheim a third time. Then they go to San Diego. Then they skip over to the East Coast Series, Arlington, Texas, Atlanta, Georgia, followed by another back-to-back one in Atlanta, Georgia, Daytona, Florida, Indianapolis, Detroit, St. Louis, then going to Houston again, a new venue, Santa Clara, California, then back to East Rutherford and rounding things out in Las Vegas, Nevada. So that is your 2015 schedule. I'd say if you want some tickets, you better get on the internet now, because those things, if you wait until Supercross season actually is here, you're never going to get your tickets. So tickets are already on sale. Some of the rounds, not all of them, but you definitely want to check that out, look into it, and see what can happen. But, you know, talking about things kicking off, we got motocross, Lucas Oil Motocross with Red Bull's involvement this year. They're kicking off later on this month. But right now we had Endurocross. I always thought that was smart of the AMA Endurocross series to kick off, to kick off the finale of Supercross. You get a lot of the fans to go to almost like what is a dual event, and I'm sure it was just a packed house there in Vegas for Endurocross. But Cody Webb taking home the win, Colton Haker in second, Taddy Baluziak in third. Bobby Parchinaw in fourth, Taylor Robert fifth, Jeff Aaron sixth, Gary Sutherland seventh, Corey Guffender in eighth, Brian Roper ninth, and Jaime Lanza rounding out your top 10. In the ladies, ladies Enduro Cross is becoming pretty darn exciting. Tara Geiger getting the whole shot, she ended up dropping out of the top three on lap two, but looks like Casey Martinez made a last lap pass around Shelby Turner. So Casey Martinez took your win. Shelby Turner took home the second spot, and Morgan Tonkey, she took home the third spot. So I got to tell you, Enduro Cross good. They get a couple of these races and events under their belt. And, they get one event under their belt. And then they go to X Games, the next one on the schedule. And then Sacramento, Atlanta, Denver, Salt Lake City, Washington, Idaho, and then Ontario, California. So Endurocross, always going to some of the venues you don't see on the Supercross schedule. And I think that's pretty darn exciting. So next up for Endurocross, it is X Games. And we'll see who comes out of the woodwork for that one. But Endurocross round one kicked off. It's in the books. On to X Games for them, and for us it is on to some upcoming events. We got World Rally Championship Argentina coming up, Formula from Atlanta. We got the Nora Mexican 1000 this weekend, and I got to tell you, I know I had a lot of you wondering, are we going to do Nora coverage? Absolutely, we're going to do Nora coverage. Just wasn't this week. After the Nora race is over, we're going to have some of the race winners. We're going to have Marty Fiocca on air. We're going to do things right for Nora, and I just couldn't do it on this show, so I didn't want to do it at all. I thought it's better to wait until after the event. So Nora Mexican 1000, it's on this weekend, and we will have coverage next week on air. Also got Global Rallycross from Barbados, 2 weeks. And I got to tell you, GRC fever is at a fever pitch at this point, it's gonna be wild in Barbados, I got to tell you. So, Global Rallycross fans, I know you guys are waiting. You've been waiting all off season. GRC Barbados just 2 weeks away. Big thanks goes out to Rigid Industries, Dirtfish Rally School, the Arizona Ford Dealers, UPR.com, Blue Water Resort and Casino, Race Tech USA, Speed Energy Drink. And got to thank Robbie Woods and George Hamill for both of them calling in today and talk about two great, amazing interviews. And always have fun with guys like that on air. Give us a follow at JimBeaver15 on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook.com/DownAndDirtyShow, DownAndDirtyShow.com, or get our app. It's available in Apple iTunes, Google Play, and the Amazon Kindle store. No excuse not to get the app. And get all these interviews at the touch of your fingertips. Get push notifications for new shows. And you also have access to my social media for those of you that want to keep up to date on what I'm doing. And I got to make the announcement. We are going to expand the Down and Dirty Radio Show to 2 hours sometime in the next month. I will let you guys know. I just haven't decided what day we're going to do it. But we've got all syndications signed off on it. It's exciting. We're going to a two-hour show. Going to give us 30 more minutes, and what I'm going to do with that 30 minutes, it's more interviews. It's not more of my talk, it's more interviews. Got a ton of great guests lined up, and I just can't fit everybody into one show at 90 minutes, so we're going to 2 hours. And I got to tell you, I'm pretty excited about it. I think we're going to be able to do some fun things and branch out and maybe get some drivers and some athletes that we haven't been able to interview that deserve to be interviewed. And not talking about more of the Ken Blocks and Tanner Faust. I'm talking more of guys like George Hamill, getting them on air and letting them tell their story. So I'm excited about it. I think it'll be fun. And sometime in the next 30 days, we're going to be moving to a two-hour segment. We'll be the same, just be about 30 minutes 30 minutes longer. So, yeah, it should be fun. So thanks for tuning in. We will see you next week, next Monday, right here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink, lit up by Ridge and Industries, and schooled by Dirtfish Rally School. And as always, this week, it's game on.